Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Staffo.
Our next guest is yet another member of rock and roll royalty. He rose from humble working class roots in Rochester, New York, to become one of rock's most popular and distinctive voices in the 70s and 80s, singing and co-writing more than a dozen iconic hits with Foreigner. He also ventured into a successful solo career. He details it all, as well as some of his struggles in his new book, Jukebox Hero, My 5 Decades in Rock and Roll. It is quite a pleasure to say hello to Lou Grant. Lou, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate this. This is quite an honor today. Your story and your experiences are perfect for a book. Tell us how the book came about.
I have a friend in Rochester, where I live, who is a sports author. He's written some very successful books about Jim Boeheim and the Syracuse basketball team that won national titles. He's written books about baseball players and things like that. And one day when we were having lunch, as we're friends, he said, we should consider doing a story about your life. And I said, really? And I said, I don't know about that. And he says, believe me, he says, you've got enough to do a book. I says, maybe a pamphlet, but I don't know about a book. We talked about it and we started working on it right away. We would meet 2 days a week at my studio for about 4 to 5 hours a day. And approximately at the end of 1 year, he told me, we're all done. And it took him another month or so to put everything in chronological order and in the wording that was the most comfortable. And then we sought a publishing company.
Mm-hmm.
And the book was released.
Very nice. The success of Foreigner, one of the most impressive runs in rock history. The first 8 singles cracked the Billboard Top 20, the first group since the Beatles to do that. That was quite a run.
You know what? That's a stat I'm really proud of.
Yeah. And such iconic hits of the time. I mean, you think of some of these songs. Hot Blood, It Feels Like the First Time, Cold as Ice, Double Vision. It is the soundtrack of that time, from the 70s into the early 80s. You think back to some of these songs, and you can remember, I can, exactly where you were at that time. And when you can create music that becomes so part of the fiber and fabric of a certain time, and it becomes the soundtrack for so many people, that is one hell of an accomplishment.
Thank you so much. You know, we did take a lot of time to craft the songs, and we were real sticklers about the production, and we always worked with great producers, and we're real proud of, about those albums and the band's history.
What I like about the bands and these iconic songs is that it doesn't really matter how old you are. I'm in my early 30s. I started really getting into classic rock when I was in my early 20s. Foreigner was one of the first bands that I actually got into. I love how it kind of like transcends time. All
jumps
these
generations.
Yeah, sure does.
That's awesome. You know, we try not to stick a song down by making references to things that eventually would be passé.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that we tried to make sure the words and the whole flavor of the song could be timeless.
That's
sure.
Why we never heard a song about a Rubik's Cube coming out of Foreigner, right?
No, definitely
and you
not.
Never would.
Well, you know, after Head Games, you and Mick Jones decide to reduce the band from 6 to 4 members. Why was that?
Well, we felt that Head Games, in a certain way, was a little bit of a disappointing album to us. The songs weren't all they could be, and it had come to our to a point where we knew we needed to make a different kind of album, an album that showed progression for us as songwriters and an ability to change our sound up, you know, while still maintaining the quality of a Foreigner album. It would take some interesting playing, it was like some of the guys in the band, when the tour was over, they'd lock their instruments up, and the next time they'd touch them is when we had to start playing again.
Wow.
You know, so it just was a disappointment that we didn't live and breathe our instruments. Mick and I agreed that if the band was going to survive and flourish, that now was the time to make some changes. Really hurt to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt to do that because those guys were with us from the beginning and they were good friends. But I mean, when you're talking about your career, sometimes you have to put friendship aside.
Sure.
So you say that the high point in your work with Foreigner is 4. Why would you say that is?
I think working with Mutt Lange, The production was incredible. I think Mick and I spent the most time and were really insistent on each song having completely different personality from the one before it or the one after it, that there was a life to each song of its own, and that they sounded good together as an album, playing them track for track. It just, and it was, the other thing was that after making the personnel change, we had to come back with something that was nothing less than spectacular. I believe we rose to the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Now, once you step away from Foreigner, you have some big solo hits. 1987's Midnight Blue, 1989's Just Between You and Me. In my opinion, you were doing rock music that what rock should have sounded like in the 80s. A lot of folks went synthesizer, went with ballads, but you kept true to really the roots of rock. How important was that for you to be able to express yourself in a solo aspect at that time?
It really hadn't been that important up to that point, but Waiting for a Girl was a beautiful song and it became a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was I Want to Know What Love
right.
Is. And then there was I Don't Want to Live Without You.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking to myself, I could see where we're going. We're undermining our own rock credibility for the sake of middle of the road listening. And Mick and I had a lot of heated discussions about that. And he never quite told me, but I really felt that by doing the ballads, we would be multi-formatted and achieve much more credibility and royalties.
A lot of groups were going that way at that time. You with the ballad, you had Air Supply, you had Journey.
Yep.
That was like 82, 83, and all music seemed to be going that way, kind of like this adult contemporary type of thing before music.
That's
really
correct.
Yeah, before music redefined itself. So I can see that. Why be just one of the others doing bland stuff, and why sacrifice, you know, what it is that you guys do?
You know, it Waiting for a Girl was the third or fourth single on Four. I Want to Know What Love Is was the second single on Agent Provocateur, but I Don't Want to Live Without You was the first single on the next album. And to me, the handwriting was on the wall. Our rock credibility was being folded right out from under us. And you know, even though those songs climbed the charts, when we toured, we could see that our audience was diminished quite a bit.
Sure.
The guys who wanted to kick butt were someplace else.
So Lou, let me ask you this very important question, okay? If you could work with anyone now, dead or alive, what is like your dream collaboration at this point in your life?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Tough question, I know.
I would have liked to write with John Lennon.
Really?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Aim for the best, right?
His writing style and his matter of fact attitude in his songs really reach me, you know. You know, while I don't aspire to be who he is, the qualities that make him who he is, I embrace.
Well, you reached many people as well, Lou, and continue today. Well, once again, the new book, Jukebox Hero, My 5 Decades in Rock and Roll, which is available in bookstores at Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, and at LouGraham.com. Lou Graham, continued best of luck. Thanks so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you guys so much. I enjoyed myself.
Thank
Have
you.
A great day. So there he goes, Lou Graham. We didn't talk about it. He also dealt with some pretty big health problems. He had a brain tumor in 1997,
mm-hmm.
And he has had his issues, and it's all described in the book. But in terms of the music that he wrote, it is, and like you said, it's one of those types of bands that just spans generations.
Listen, you go through these iconic songs. You could start singing any one of these songs.
Yes.
Hot Blooded, Feels Like the First Time, Cold as Ice. I mean, these are songs that me, when I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. was singing to on the radio. Timeless music. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate it so much because new music now is not like that.
New music now is so disposable. I mean, some of the stuff that comes out, I mean, you're going to listen to it and it's already in some car commercial 4 weeks later because they know it's not going to last.
That's right.
There's just so much music that drops, as the kids say now, that, you know, it's just, it's
very good.
It doesn't have, thank you so much, doesn't have the staying power as this music does. And I think he was actually quite taken back and he really appreciated the fact that we talked about how important his music has become.
Yes, absolutely.
Pick up the book. It really is an interesting read into that time and how music was made. Well, stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 888-679-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 888-679-MY-TV. That's 888-679-MY-TV.